white-painted paddles from his belt, sighted on the watch-house semaphore tower peeking over the top of the old lemonade factory, waited until the watching gargoyles signalled him, and with a certain amount of verve and flair, ripped off an impression of a man with stiff arms playing two games of table tennis at once. "The team will be along any minute. Ah, watch this." A little further along the street, two trolls were carefully clamping a hay wagon. After a minute or two, one of them happened to glance at the watch-house tower, nudged his colleague, produced two bats of his own, and, with rather less élan than Sergeant Colon, sent a signal. When it was answered, the trolls looked around, spotted Colon, and lumbered towards him.
"Ta-da!"
said Colon proudly. "Amazing, this new technology," said Al Jolson admiringly. "And they must have been, what, 40 or 50 yards away?"
"That's right, Al. In the old days I'd have had to blow a whistle, and they'll arrive here knowing it was me who wanted them, too."
"Instead of having to look and see it was you," said Jolson.
"Well, yeah," said Colon,
aware that what had transpired might not be the brightest ray of light in the new dawn of the communications revolution.
"Of course, it would have worked just as well if they'd been streets away, on the other side of the city even. And if I told the gargoyle to, as we say, put it on the big tower over on the tump, they'd have got it in Stolet within minutes, see?"
"And that's 20 miles,
at least."
"Amazing, Fred."
"Time moves on, all," said Colon, as the trolls reached them. "Constable Chert, who told you to clamp my friend's cart?" he demanded.
"Well, Sarge, this morning you said we was to clamp every..."
"Not this cart," said Colon.
"Unlock it right now, and we'll say no more about it, eh?"
Constable Chert seemed to reach the conclusion that he wasn't being paid to think, and this was just as well because Sergeant Colon did not believe trolls gave value for money in that department.
"If you say so, Sarge. While you're doing that, me and all here will have a little chat, right, all?"
said Fred Colon.
"That's right, Fred."
"Well, I say chat, but I'll be mostly listening on account of having my mouth full."
Snow cascaded from the fir branches. The man forced his way through, stood fighting for breath for a moment, and then set off across the clearing at a fast trot. Across the valley, he heard the first blast on the horn. He had an hour then, if he could trust them. He might not make it to the tower, but there were other ways out. He had plans. He could outwit them. Keep off the snow as much as you can, double back, make use of the streams. It was possible. It had been done before. He was sure of that. A few miles away, sleek bodies set out through the forest. The hunt was on. Elsewhere in Ankh-Morpork, the Fool's Guild was on fire. This was a problem, because the Guild's fire brigade consisted largely of clowns. And this was a problem, because if you show a clown a bucket of water and a ladder, he only knows one way to act. Years of training take over. It's something in the red nose speaking to him. He can't help himself. Sam Vimes of the Ankh-Morpork City Watch leaned against a wall and watched the show.
"We really must put that proposal for a civic fire service to the patrician again," he said.
Across the street, a clown picked up a ladder, turned, knocked the clown behind him into a bucket of water, then turned again to see what the commotion was, thus sending his rising victim into the bucket again with a surprising parping noise. The crowd watched silently. If it was funny, clowns wouldn't be doing it.
"The guilds are all very much against it," said Captain Carrot Iron Founderson, his second in command,
as the clown with the ladder had a bucket of water poured down his trousers.
"They say it'll be trespass."
The fire had taken hold in a first-floor room.
"If we let it burn, it'll be a blow for entertainment in this city," said Carrot earnestly.
Vimes looked sideways at him. That was a true Carrot comment. It sounded as innocent as hell, but you could take it a different way.
"It certainly would," he said. "Nevertheless, I suppose we'd better do something."
He stepped forward and cupped his hands.
"All right, this is the watch. Bucket chain," he shouted.
"Oh, must we?" said someone in the crowd.
"Yes, you must," said